Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos, a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. Tonight's guest is Darren. Darren Gordon Smith is a composer and multi-instrumentalist and award-winning screenwriter whose work includes Repo, the Genetic Opera, named one of Rolling Stone magazine's top 25 cult movies of all time, and the sci-fi rock and roll com, The Second Age of Aquarius. He's been privileged to work on many, many projects.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight, Darren?
I'm good. Thanks so much. And thanks for so much for having me on.
You're welcome, man. You have some impressive credentials, brother. I mean, some of the people you've worked with and the things you've worked on, it's like, I'm like humbled to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
You know, one of the things I want to ask you, because I loved the Monkees growing up. So you took banjo lessons from Peter?
Yes, that's right. From Peter Tork.
That's insane. Tell me about that. I don't know why that's the first thing I have to ask you tonight, but you got to tell me about that. That sounds really cool.
Well, it's great. I had bought a banjo, and I had watched the movie Head by the Monkees, and I noticed that there was a scene with Peter Tork, and he's playing banjo, and it's like really great. And it was strange. About a week later, I'm in a rehearsal studio, and Peter Tork comes up to me. He's like, "Is that a banjo?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, and I was like, "Do you give lessons?" He goes, "Yeah." So that's how it started. So he gave me lessons for a while, and he was a great guy. And also, he not only just had musical things to give me, but also more or less kind of things that had to do with kind of tutelage about being in the industry, being a young person in the industry, those kinds of things. So he was great on many levels.
That's invaluable advice to get from someone, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you try to pass that forward when you see like a young person? Do you kind of try to give them some advice?
Yeah, I do. Because one of the best advice that he gave me was he was watching Peter Tork's watching me play. And he's like, "You're really tight." He says, "I understand what it's like to be a young adult." Like, I was young at the time. He's like, "A young adult, you want to prove something. You really want to get out there." And he's like, "It's going to hold you back, though. You got to relax. You got to not try to prove something."
Yeah.
And so, yes, to answer that question, I try to give that advice to anybody.
Yeah, that's really, really cool, man. Tell us a little bit about... Forget about Peter for a second. How did you get started making music?
Okay, I got started. My mom was a classical pianist. My dad was a scientist who had been a trumpeter in jazz in St. Louis during the 1940s. And I just grew up from the first age I can think of just bopping around to music, even while my mom was doing classical recitals. So I really got into it. My first love really was jazz, and I played trumpet. And then, you know, at adolescence, I really got into the Beatles, Rolling Stones, some of the classic rock things and punk rock at the same time.
Yeah, that's really cool. Any family in music? Anyone inspired you from your, you know, that's genetically related to you?
Yeah, pretty much. My mom, she could play anything, and she would play, for example, at hotels, and people would just say, "Hey, Renee, do you know such and such song?" She's like, "I don't know." She's sing it, and people would sing it, and she'd know how to harmonize with the piano.
Okay, tell us a little bit about how do you figure out if something you've written is gold? If you're going to like run with it, if you're going to forget about it, or if you're going to release it out into the world, work on it, etc.?
The main thing would be, after I have the lyrics done, is can I remember the melody? Do I not have to rely on a tape recorder? I do remember years ago reading an interview with Paul McCartney, and not that I'm at all comparing myself to a great person like that, but having said that, he was just saying he never used a tape player. He goes, if the melody isn't memorable enough for him to remember it, then it's not a good melody. And I really find that to be the case. And I also find myself, because I'm a musician at heart, I find myself when I'm not playing an instrument, when I'm walking or I'm driving or I'm taking a shower, those are usually the best times for me to actually compose.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but it's torture. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm in the shower, like the iPhone has like saved me to just like save melodies. And I used to like try to write the lyrics. Now I just put on the recorder and just sing the melody, which has the lyrics too. And again, I don't know, but to me, it just, inspiration strikes at the weirdest times sometimes.
Totally. And I feel like it's more stressful to be at night saying, I'm going to remember this thing, I'm going to remember this thing, than it is to actually put it into your iPhone.
Yes.
So I agree with
yeah.
you.
And, yeah, I used to be like that. Oh, I'll remember it in the morning. And in the morning, I have no idea what it was. So
I know. And it was like, that was the most brilliant idea I ever had. Why?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, I'm not going to argue with Sir Paul, but man, that's just me. I have to remember it. And I'm sure like most people, yourself included, or anyone in Nashville, my iPhone is loaded with notes that have all sorts of melodies and different. And honestly, it's kind of funny because I'll write a song. Sometimes I'll kind of look through if I'm looking for a certain idea. But it's kind of funny. I just write new stuff. I don't really even look at that. And there's probably so much gold in those notes, but it's just, there's so much content I have, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I notice you do a song every month, right? Or song every week.
Yeah. I try to put something out every week, but yeah, there's a new song every month.
I mean, that's amazing. I think one of the great things of having kind of quantity is that I don't force things like I used to. I think when I was younger, I'd have, you know, idea A and then idea B and idea C, and I think, how can I meld these things together?
Yeah.
And nowadays, I really don't. I really kind of, I know that I'm going to have way more ideas than will ever be usable. And so I really want to focus on what is the feeling I'm getting right now in this moment, and not try to be overly clever and overly cute. Just try to focus on the emotion, I guess.
Yeah. Tell us about this song we're going to hear in a few minutes. What do you want us to take from it?
Well, this is a song from a movie called The Second Age of Aquarius, which is out now in all major streaming platforms. It's a sci-fi rock and roll rom-com about a person who recreates, kind of like mad science, recreates their favorite rock star from the 1960s.
That's awesome. This guy, man. That's a cool idea.
He's a fictitious character called Russell Aquarius. He comes back to life because this computer coder has made a computer, you know, it's an avatar of this creature. The guy thought it's 1970. He doesn't realize he's in 2022. He just feels like he's crashing at some groupie's house after some drug-fueled experience. So the reason I bring all this up is it's a fun and funny movie, which I co-wrote the script for. And the songs are meant to be the songs from the era that he lived in between 1966 and 1970. And the song that we're going to hear is called The Never-Ending Cosmic Tour.
Okay.
And that song, in the movie, it's something he worked on right before he died in 1970. But then as he's recreated and comes back to life in 22, he finishes it off. And so it's fun and funny over the top. And it's also kind of talks in a way about singularity and the whole idea of the merger of man and machine.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, that's awesome, man. Tell you what, Darren, let's take a listen. We'll come back and talk, okay?
Okay.
All right, everybody, check this out. Here we go. Darren Smith.
Cosmic tour. Thumb a ride on the analog divide, you'll see, yeah. It's the evolution, revolution, everyone is singing the song. Atomize the planet with a shrouded coat of mystery, babe. A symphony of digits in the mellow mix of man and machine. Feel the current of the 22nd century. Yeah. Don't wait until it's too late. The future won't set you free. There's something better when we live together. We're gonna live forever. With our souls in the cloud, we're gonna flow together in time. So let's fuse together. We're all gonna live forever.
Darren, that was definitely an interesting song. How do you, it seems like you're talented enough to kind of do any genre you want. Is that fair to say? Or do you kind of try to pigeonhole yourself in a certain thing? Or do you feel like you can't do a certain genre?
I think that I can muddle through just about any genre that's put to me, you know, with varying success, of course. But I do music that's, in this case, these are 1960s era music, which I recorded playing vintage instruments and recorded on a lot of vintage recording gear. But I've also done more futuristic music, more industrial type music. And I've also, my wife, Nancy Long, is a singer-songwriter too, and we've done some 1920s era pieces. And so, yes, I do tend to write in different genres. Whatever really, whatever the action and story that I'm trying to tell will do it. Because I totally agree with what you say in the beginning of your shows, which is that, you know, every song does tell a story. And, you know, how can I make this song be what it needs to be, regardless of what I thought it was going to be? It's kind of like a kid, you know, you raise your children, but you raise your children to be the best they can be and try to get rid of the pre-existing expectations you have of them. And, you know, in a small way, that's how I look at my creations of music.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. What's your favorite 80s jam?
80s jam?
Yeah.
Oh, I love The Fix. One Thing Leads to Another.
That's
Red Skies at Night. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
And I'm actually working on a horror musical that takes place in the 80s. So I'm writing songs that's supposed to be from that era.
Oh, man. Now that song is stuck in my head.
All right. Red Skies at Night.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about you personally. What's your favorite type of food?
Favorite type of food? I guess first thing that comes to my mind is Indian food.
Okay. All right. What's the one show you're binging on right now? Either TV, movies, just anything that you're watching?
Oh, just got done binging on Ned Lasso and Succession.
Dude, Ted Lasso is awesome. I love that show.
Isn't it great? It's such a good feeling show. It's got heart. It's an uplifting show, I think.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think it's a great show. Anything new you got coming out for the fans that you want to share with us in the next few months or this year?
I'm going to be doing more music for Russell Aquarius for this project of the soundtrack for The Second Age of Aquarius. So I have some more 1960s tunes to do. And then I'm going to switch gears because I'm working on this horror movie from the 1980s where they time traveled in the 1980s. So I'm working on that music and those songs from that era as well.
What was your first job?
My first job. My first job was painting fire zones out on the street with red paint on my hands and knees in the hot California sun.
Okay.
Not that I sound bitter or anything.
Yeah,
but yes,
not at all. No, fond memories, I could tell.
I just loved it.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to be a musician. I'm never doing this thing again.
Yeah. All right. So the lotto comes in. You just won $300 million. What would you change about your life?
Oh, what I changed about my life, first of all, studio-wise, have my perfect studio, recording studio that I want. Once I get all the gear that I want, then really the most important thing for me, and this is for my wife as well, is to not only just be able to fund our creative process, but the creative things of our friends, of people that we know who have brilliant ideas but no money, or brilliant ideas and no time with which to do them. So we really want to set up some sort of foundation that could really help in music and in film.
That's awesome, dude. All right, Darren. Last question before I let you go. What's the funniest thing that's happened to you in the last week?
In the last week?
Anything?
Can't think of anything funny that happened.
No problem, Darren. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight with us.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And I like your show, and I really appreciate the positive vibes that you give off in your music as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm humbled to hear you say that.
Thank you.
So to all the fans out there, thank you for listening tonight and sharing a little time with Darren and I. I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. I love you guys. Have a great night.
Show me a sign. Can you please be mine? All night long, your smile's going strong. Such a fool to think what look would do. I fell hard for you. Hey, I wanna try, but I'm way too shy.
Going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.